This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
July the 31st, be with you on a Friday morning. Welcome on in. It is a numbers game. I am not Gil Alexander. I'm still Dustin Sweetelson, unfortunately. That is Kelly Bidlin. We've got you for the next 3 hours right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Fun show lined up. Back in the chair today, next week for Gil Alexander. But don't worry, you'll hear from Mr. 80-1 later on in the program. He's going to stop by because based on where I'm looking on the calendar, Kelly Bidlin, the month of August begins tomorrow. I do not have an official play on most wins in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Gil just hit the Red Sox 80-1. Probably the least sweaty 80-1 you're ever going to have in your entire life.
Yeah, probably. Yep.
So we'll get Gil's thoughts on that coming up here at 11:45 a.m. Eastern time. A lot to get to on the program as far as college football is concerned. Andy Staples from On3 will join us. Bottom of this hour, what does he think of college football Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kurt Cignetti, and his statement about the SEC without naming the SEC? We'll also do college football with Trevor Maddich of ESPN, his BYU Cougars. Second shot on the board to win the Big 12. I'm feeling frisky on them this year. And another team I like deep down the board in the Big 12 later on in the program. Pat Ragazzo, national MLB writer for Athlon Sports, will be with us breaking down the trade deadline. Tarek Skubal, where we stand in that market. But more importantly, what about the consolation prize for the teams that don't get Skubal? Kevin Gausman, Robbie Ray, Reed Detmers. Where could some of these arms be on the move and will impact who can contend with the Dodgers when all is said and done? And then Steve Fezzik, two-time winner of the Super Contest, will be with us to break down everything as we get ready for the football season. Kelly?
Yeah.
Appreciate you being here. Let me have some time to hang out with you today.
It's good to have you back, buddy. Mr. VSiN, all over the place.
I know. I did a little sharing with you before the show. We had a moment. I've never admitted this out loud. One way I get pumped up for shows, especially morning shows like this where I am not a morning person. The irony of that statement is I do cashing out. I'm also not a night person. I leave that show yawning at 11:30 at night every night. So I don't know what that makes me.
I feel like you can't say that, but okay. You're the first person I've ever heard say that.
But sometimes you get myself fired up.
Big 2 p.m. person.
I'm awesome.
Loves 2 p.m.
From the hours of 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., I'm money. Outside of that, don't talk to me. But to get myself fired up, to get a little juice flowing, I like to watch college football entrances. And despite being a Miami fan, my number one go-to to get me amped up, it's Florida State.
Yeah, it's
Chief Osceola, the flaming spear at the 50, on the back of Renegade, and the entire place doing the tomahawk chop. How many times when you were at Tallahassee, when you went to Florida State, did you go to games? Like, did you actually go to games, or did you just wait for the games to get out to start drinking?
I went to a lot. My first, 2-3 years of school.
By year eight, you were over it.
I did do 5 years in Tallahassee, first of all.
I did 5.5 years of college as well.
My two senior years, Dustin, I don't know. I'm going to guess I went to one game. We had quite a racket going where we were just selling parking spaces at my house at that point.
Oh, my God.
So it was like Saturday morning, I'd just be sitting out on the front lawn like with a cooler of beers and just parking cars.
We're around the same age, but you were at Florida State when it was kind of down years, right?
Yeah, it was the
Xavier Lee, Drew Weatherford?
The Drew Weatherford years. That's right, buddy.
We were only an hour away. I was at Valdosta State at that time.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do a little college football later on in the show. We have plenty to talk about as far as that's concerned. Kelly did admit to me before the program began, he is sick of seeing the odds to win the ACC graphic on the screen. He's seen it too many times already.
It's the worst graphic I've ever seen.
And then I had to alert him. Unfortunately, it's not even August yet, so buckle in, Buttercup.
Somehow there's 16 teams in this conference now, Dustin. We've got a minus 135 or even steeper at this point.
I see minus 160 out
there. I was going to say, even steeper at this point. It's got to be your Miami Hurricanes, and Florida State can be found all the way down at 35-1. It's very depressing.
Yeah, some would say that was a weird way to begin the show, but you know what? I'm here. That's what we do. We get weird. You know what else is weird? Whatever's happening in San Francisco,
yeah.
I am not as much of a conspiracy guy as I appear at times. I like to buy into things and I like to run down that rabbit hole and find out what's going on. But it does appear the injury bug in San Francisco is not going away anytime soon. In case you missed it, reports about Ricky Pearsall and his future have left the Niners in a spot where they had to make a move yesterday. They have brought back Deebo Samuel at wide receiver, 1 year, up to $7 million on the deal for him. He is reunited with the Niners, the offense, Brock Purdy, and Kyle Shanahan, because a report came out from Matt Maiocco, who covers the Niners yesterday, about the status of one Ricky Pearsall. Here's what he had to say when he appeared on KMBR yesterday.
Or not. Yeah, no. And this doesn't look good either. You know, the posterior cruciate ligament is an injury that oftentimes heals on its own. And that was the expectation last year. He injured that thing. He came back, kind of re-aggravated it, and just he had a difficult time shaking that. Well, the idea was, or the thought would be, that it would heal on its own through the offseason. And it doesn't appear as if that is happened. After the first 2 days of training camp, which he ran all the routes, he wasn't limited in any fashion. He experienced swelling in that knee, and now it's kind of back to the drawing board. So, you know, if surgery is required, he's going to miss the season.
That is a huge report and a huge impact on a guy that they need to contribute this year. Mm-hmm. So they go out, they make the move for Deebo Samuel. And I'm pretty bullish on San Francisco overall. I do think they have plenty of depth. Win total's 10.5. I don't think it's crazy to think that they could win the NFC West. But this certainly makes you question things, because all of a sudden you have a Deebo Samuel into the mix again, where he's coming off a year where he was not healthy and really not that productive in Washington. You bring in Mike Evans. He's 33 years old. He was also injured a year ago.
Yep.
Christian Kirk is currently hurt in training camp. The rookie, Deshaun Stribling, I think is a fascinating look at 20-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year, but we have no idea what his role will be in this offense. And I think lucky for them, they still have DeMarcus Robinson on the roster, who's a pretty productive veteran, but you need impact guys. This feels like the receiver spot for the Niners could be a house of cards during this season.
Yeah, totally. This was finally, it felt like a year where it might not be a major problem for them, yeah. Right? And it's, man, what a bizarro story that was yesterday, right? I mean, something we really didn't see coming. And then you start hearing the details, and it's like, man, the 49ers were just kind of trusting him to heal up on the offseason.
Yeah, I don't understand the process here. It's just, how about you be the adult? I always watch this with people where it's like, oh, kids do this, kids make... Be the adult and tell them what to do. You're the boss. You dictate the terms of the deal. We're in charge. We pay your checks. You're going to see this doctor, and we're going to address this because we're investing time, resources, money, energy into you. We need you to be on the field because the window is closing.
Yeah, I don't get how you get... Look, maybe I'm going to assume there's a lot we don't know about conversations with Ricky Pearsall in the offseason, but what you're basically telling us right now is this: we trusted that was going to get settled in the offseason, figured out, and then you are sounding the alarm bells on day one of camp? I mean, it's swelling, after the first couple days, and immediately it's, okay, let's get Deebo in here, and this guy might miss the season.
Yeah, I think there's another move to be made for the Niners. I don't know if they're done. I don't think it would be crazy to say they should add Stephon Diggs as well, or Curtis Samuel. There's other people available that the Niners might be looking at right now, because to me, the sense of urgency is so great with this organization right now. They cannot afford to play around, and unfortunately for them, they're relying on guys that may not be available. And I was on yesterday on Follow the Money with Mitch Moss, and I wrote up Brock Purdy in the VSiN NFL betting guide. It's available now. Remember, tomorrow that deal is going to change, so you can still lock in $175 for everything we do. Plus, you'll get the NFL betting guide in that. But I wrote up Brock Purdy MVP. Mm-hmm. And initially, I went, you know what? I'm a little concerned that he doesn't have the guys to throw to. And then Mitch Moss pointed out, hold on. Isn't this the narrative you want for Brock Purdy MVP? Because if he elevates his game, if they win 10, 11, 12 games, if they contend in the division, if they're contending for the one seed like it appears they can, wouldn't Brock Purdy have a stronger case for MVP with so many of these guys being banged up in and out of the lineup?
Well, yes, but it's easier for him to get to those win marks, to those 2 yardage totals.
Because I want the numbers. My whole handicap wasn't he was going to carry everyone. The breakdown was, I think he takes the next step in his game. Mm-hmm. I think the numbers are elevated this year because of the continuity, because of the infrastructure, because honestly, if you just look at the numbers, Brock Purdy, by the numbers, when he's available and healthy, is a top six, seven quarterback in the league? Man, eight?
I'm a Brock Purdy guy. I don't know if I
got not a Brock Purdy guy, but the sometimes you have to – the numbers tell the story. We heard it at the opening of the show. Sometimes you got to let the numbers tell you what's happening here.
Dude, he has been out there. He's been a stud. So, like, you're not going to get me to go the other way on this guy. And this is – I don't hate the MVP play. I think you and I talked about it just a couple of weeks ago, but this is all three of these big teams in the NFC West. I can't look under on any of them. It's not an overbet on any of the three of them, but yeah, I expect all three of them to be there right at the end when we get to the playoffs.
It's a numbers game. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. That's Kelly Bidlin here for Gil Alexander today. Update on the Tarek Skubal market. This thing has been fluctuating for the last week or so. We actually had a brief moment, I believe it was 2 days ago, where the Brewers were favored to acquire the left-hander as the trade deadline quickly approaches in Major League Baseball. Currently, right now at Kelce, the Los Angeles Dodgers, 46% to acquire his services. Milwaukee is 24%. Then you have the Braves and the Rays at 8%. Staying in Detroit is 7%, which feels a little bit high to me. And then you have the Cubbies at 5%, followed by the Orioles and Yankees. One, I'd love the Orioles, but I don't think they're going to do it. The Cubs become a true contender in the National League if they get him. There is a 0% chance he is staying with the Detroit Tigers. In fact, if you're in Detroit, Michigan, and you can hear my voice, you should riot in the streets if Skubal is still on your roster once the trade deadline comes and goes. But the other teams, there's one specifically that I'm obsessed with Skubal landing in, and I think it actually gives us a chance of someone to potentially knock off the Dodgers. I will tell you who that team is coming up next. Plus, more on the trade deadline throughout the program. Seeing reports out there, the Reds telling teams Hunter Green is not available, which, duh, makes sense. He pitches tonight against Paul Skenes. Epic matchup at Great American Ballpark. Before we preview what's to come, let's look back at what went down last night, including a team is historically bad in extra innings, and they actually got worse last night. Who that is, and from their manager, what he says about their performance next.
I've told you guys I've been pretty upfront and honest about my feelings about Tampa.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to Friday. I'm Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander on a numbers game. As always, that is Kelly Bidlin, one of my tag team partners here on my Summer of Swede tour.
That's right. That's what you're calling it, huh?
Well, I've done every show at this point. I went through my Google Drive the other day. I was like, let me find the rundown I'm working on for the show. For those that don't know, Google Drive, you share documents with everyone. And I was like, I don't even know what show I'm on. I don't know which rundown's mine. It's just a bunch of things labeled rundown. I'm like, I have to actually open each of them to find out which one is the show I'm working on today. I'm literally Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm walking up to the microphone, and on the stand, it just says, welcome everyone to the concert. So happy to be in insert your city here. Okay, that's where we're at this point in time. And we are approaching the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and some news coming out this morning in reaction to some of the guys that have been available in the market. And this is interesting with Detroit. We've been talking about Tarek Skubal. That market is crazy, and we have more on that in just a second. But the Tigers, according to Chris McCoskey, who's been covering the Detroit Tigers for a long time, the Tigers are going to hold Casey Mize out of his start today as a precaution against a trade. Casey Mize, I believe, is in a contract year. So it's not just Tarek Skubal that's potentially getting dealt from Detroit. It's also Casey Mize, who is one of the most hyped pitching prospects this side of Todd Van Poppel. He's been better than Todd Van Poppel, but it's been that same kind of mystique around this guy since he went to Auburn, taken by the Tigers when they were a really bad organization at the top of the draft. And he really hasn't lived up to it. He's having an okay year. He's been okay the last couple of years. He's been good, but he's not special. And Detroit's shopping him clearly because they're not going to pitch him against the A's and Jeffrey Springs tonight, of course, on the road in Sacramento. Why would you do that? You're only going to hurt his trade value because the numbers are going to look so bad.
Right.
It's still up on the board right now. Detroit minus 156. The A's are plus 129. 10.5 is the total. if I could get something on that over right now, I actually think that might be the move. If that is, if they truly are holding him out of this game, and I have no reason not to believe McCoskey here. He's been locked in on Detroit Tigers coverage for a long time. You know what I'm seeing? It is off the board now.
I think that's an old number.
My computer has not updated.
No, I think your total is still okay, though. I think I'm looking at an updated number right now because the side has moved. Detroit minus 136.
Yep. It's still 10.5. Overs juiced minus 118. Mm-hmm. I'm considering the over there. Jeffrey Springs' home ERA is so bad. And the Tigers against lefties really aren't special, but I do think that they can score plenty of runs tonight in that contest. But speaking of the Tigers, their ace, Tarik Skubal, we were looking at his market on prediction markets. And I just want to bring this up because it happened live on the air yesterday on Follow the Money. Mitch and I were both looking at the market and we had different numbers. We're like, hold on, why do we have different numbers for the same thing at the same shop? Be careful when you're betting into these prediction markets. There is one market for Tarik Skubal up that says before the start of next year, like March 27th, something like
March
that.
March 25th, 2027, yeah. Yep.
The other one is for the trade deadline, and it says August 5th, 2026, which is next week. And Kelly, you pointed out, wait, why does the one that says March, why does that one have more money in it, liquidity, than the one that's for this coming up at the trade deadline? And I think that's because the other one was up longer. That one's been available longer, and people didn't check the date, and they just start betting it. And yesterday is an example where I'm sitting here with Mitch and I'm going, why do you have 10% and I have 8%? Why do you have 40% and I have 32%? Like, why is there such a chasm in what we're looking at? Be careful, people. Make sure you're looking at the right thing with the right information because there's multiples available.
Yeah, now, I just to take it a step further, in theory, the next team before the trade deadline, if he does get moved, whatever team that is whatever team he would be on before March 25th, 2027. So, if move fast, if you see that happen.
Wait. Go, say that again?
So they have the first market up before by the trade deadline, right? Yep. If he gets traded, then whatever his team before March 25th, 2027 would be that same team.
Unless he signs with another team.
Yeah, because he's a free agent.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why he's being dealt. So you're right, though. There is a world where maybe he's not signed. Or we have a lockout, theoretically, right? If there's a lockout. Yeah. And he can't sign with anyone and the baseball season's delayed, well, then maybe he'd still be available there. But either way,
there is a no team retires option.
Yeah, sure, that's going to happen. Based on the way he took himself out of a playoff game in Seattle a year ago, I do believe he's been waiting for this moment for a long time to cash in and make that money. So we'll see what happens with Tarik Skubal here as that market continues to move throughout the day. The Dodgers still favored at 46%. I'll tell you the team that I like in just a second. But in case you missed it yesterday in Major League Baseball, the New York Yankees are the worst team in extra innings.
Whew.
Maybe ever in the history of extra innings. They lose to the White Sox 2-1 in 11 on a walk-off walk, which really, walk-off walk, that is the only correct term for walk-off because technically in a walk-off home run, there's still some jogging involved.
Yeah, you run. Yeah.
So, believe me, I'm very aware that if you hit the ball over the fence, you don't have to run. That was one of those things as a child that was very important to me, not having to run. The Yankees have 5 losses when leading in extra innings this year. That's the most in Major League Baseball. No other team has more than 3. The Yankees are 1-8 in extra inning games. That is the worst in baseball. Just on numbers, you're like 50-50 in extras. Even if half the time you're on the road, half the time you're at home, you should be better than 1-8. It's the first time in franchise history the Yankees have lost back-to-back games despite having a lead in extra innings in both games. Part of the problem for the Yankees is this offense. They have not been the same without Aaron Judge in the lineup. Aaron Boone, the manager of the Bombers, sounded off about that following the loss on the south side of Chicago.
Look, I mean, we got to score a freaking point. The story is not, you know, the pitchers again did their job. Like, obviously, Stormy was great to get us going. The bullpen was good, including Cruz. We got to score. I mean, that's the story, the beginning and end of it. We got to find a way.
Seeing the Jazz pick off?
Stolen base. That's how lefties pick off. That's how you get caught stealing on that.
You say you can't count on guys coming through here for help, but do you think that you guys need a bat?
I don't know, Randy. It doesn't matter. doesn't matter. I'm not going to play the speculative game every single day now. What's going to happen Monday will happen or not happen. We have to score better. We have to do a better job offensively, period, and not looking over our shoulders for anyone. We have to find a way.
I love how he was so enraged. He said score a point. He's in been in baseball his entire life where it's called runs. He's so seeing red in that moment. And look, this team has the worst batting average in baseball since Aaron Judge went on the IL. 222 going back since Judge left this team. Yeah. They're not the same team. You cannot buy them to win the American League. This is the reason why they might be an unscoobable. It might be might make more sense to change your entire approach, because I don't know if Judge is returning, but you just go all in on arms. You go all in on pitching. You make a run, and you rely on the fact that you have Cam Schlittler, the favorite for Cy Young. You could add Scooble. Max Fried would be your third starter at that point. You have so many options to go to. I think there's a world where the Yankees are weighing the options and saying, you know what, if we can't score, we may not be able to add a bat that replaces Aaron Judge because we don't know if he returns. But what we can do is add another arm and make it even lower scoring games. But someone's got to come through and get a hit. In fact, today at Chicago, a statement like that in football, you would want to back that team the next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing that. I think this is real. I think this is their identity. I think that is who this team is, that they are not a good hitting team. And with Judge out and Bellinger injured, the Yankees are without two of their best bats against left-handed pitching. Paul Goldschmidt remains. Ben Rice has good numbers against lefties. But the rest of the lineup, not that good this year. I'm going first five with the Cubbies today at home. I laid a half a run, minus 108. Imanaga on the bump. He's a minus 162 favorite, minus 150 here at Circa. You could do that if you like for the full game. Yankees plus 134 with Will Warren. The total's 9. But the Yankees scoring just 3.66 runs per game their last 9. Imanaga's last 5 starts, a 1.55 ERA, 25 strikeouts, 29 innings pitched. And oh, by the way, last year, Imanaga was awesome against a much better Yankees lineup. Gave him 7 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned, and 6 strikeouts. I really like the Cubbies today. Will Warren's numbers are not very good on the road. And I don't believe what Judge just did fires up the group, even though that it should. This offense just isn't good. It's not a special team. And everything that they do revolves around Aaron Judge being healthy. And unless Judge is available, they cannot, will not, no way, shape, or form wind up winning the American League pennant. That's simple as that.
There you go. Plus 150 to win the AL East now over at FanDuel. Tampa Bay, minus 150.
Hey, this is it. It's your last day to lock in the early bird pricing on the football special. It's $175 now through the Super Bowl before it goes to $199 tomorrow. With preseason football just around the corner, we'll be previewing the Hall of Fame game next week. You get instant access to our NFL betting guide, futures, win totals, division races, and player props. And on Monday, we will drop our college football betting guide preview of all 138 FBS teams, power ratings, best bets, and more. You'll also get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide with over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings, plus full Visa Pro access now through the Super Bowl, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the Visa Watch app. All you have to do is head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock it in for the season. Speaking of that college football betting guide, the Indiana Hoosiers. Doesn't feel like everyone's as bullish as some on them returning to the promised land despite being the champs and having the best two-year run in today's college football world. Kurt Cignetti spoke, took shots at the SEC. Was it warranted? Andy Staples on 3 analyzes next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at our numbers game, Justin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander today, next week. Then we go back. We go back to the original schedule of my life. The Summer of Sweet Tour will end as I've bounced around VSiN all summer long, enjoying the daylight hours as I'm hanging out with Kelly Bidlin here on the program today. And I'm looking forward to this next conversation. He is my favorite person when it comes to college football. He is the voice of reason. He is the contrarian. He is the person who can convince me when I am wrong, and I rarely admit when I'm wrong about certain things. He is Andy Staples, national college football reporter and host for On3. Check out Andy and Ari On3, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And Mr. Staples joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Andy, what's up, buddy? How we doing?
Dustin, I thought we were just going to break down Valdosta State today. I thought that was this is going to be a deep dive into the Blazers.
We have not talked in a while. Since then, I'm engaged, and I told my fiance yesterday, I know what I want for Hanukkah, for Christmas, for my next birthday, and it's a signed, full-sized Valdosta State helmet signed by Jesse Tuggle. And she's like, I don't know what language you're speaking right now. It's like $212, and it'll be my most prized possession on the planet.
Well, you don't want a Hal Mummy signed one?
Hey, if there was a Hal Mummy one out there, I would take that. I would take Dana Holgerson.
I mean, Hal will sign it.
Sure. That's a valid point. I could probably just show up at his house at this point. He's teaching the area.
Get you season tickets. You need season tickets. It's an easy commute.
I need season tickets. You mean I need $300? I don't know how much. I might be overshooting it. I might be doubling it there.
Easy commute for me. I'm 80 miles south of there, but not for you.
No. You're in the heart of SEC country, so want to get your thoughts on a few things because shots were fired at the SEC yesterday. The gift that keeps on giving, the Stone Cold Steve Austin of college football, Kurt Cignetti, sticks the landing, calling out the SEC, wanting to secede from the union that is the NCAA. What'd you make of Cignetti calling out the SEC for its whining, moving the goalpost, because they're champions 3 years in a row, the Big Ten are?
I thought it was hilarious, and I love how much it bothers the SEC people, because they did this to the Big Ten people for 15 years at least. Like, almost 20 years, and rightfully so, because the SEC was winning those national championships. And this is, I will tell the SEC people now the same thing I told the Big Ten people then. Beat them in the games that matter, and you can talk all the crap you want. Like, that's how this works. I thought it was funny because Cignetti's like, we don't cry in the Big Ten. I'm like, you cried forever in the Big Ten. You just weren't there.
That's a good point. What do you make of Indiana this year? Because we have a college football betting guide that's out. People believe in them as a playoff team. People believe they're capable of winning the Big Ten. But there seems to be a hesitation, and I'm probably in this camp where I feel like you're asking a lot for them to win back-to-back titles. But at this point, should I really be doubting Kurt Cignetti in any way?
I ain't betting against him. And he kept his coordinators, and you know they were really good in the portal. Like, they go get Nick Marsh from Michigan State to bolster the receiving core. We will see about Josh Hoover at quarterback, but I don't feel like they're going to be appreciably different from the last 2 years. They're still going to be really good. Now, their Big Ten schedule is challenging, the way it sets up especially, because the thing about these giant conferences that you have to remember, it's not just who you play, it's when you play them and the order you play them in. So Indiana's got a really interesting set of games, so that they go to Nebraska on October 10th. If Nebraska is what they're supposed to be, this should be like 2-5-0 teams playing. So it'll be super hyped, even though Indiana will probably be favored. But then immediately following that, Ohio State and Bloomington. And then following that, they go to Ann Arbor. So that's a three-week stretch. And then later they've got SC and Washington back-to-back. Like, this is not going to be easy for Indiana to do. But should they be in the mix for a playoff berth, in the mix for the Big Ten championship? Absolutely.
Now, Andy Staples is with us. On Three is the site. Check him out, Andy and Ari, on YouTube, wherever you get your podcast, breaking down college football. In the Big Ten, I love Oregon, and I hear a lot of people talking about Dan Lanning can't win the big one, but you go back and look, Andy. One, it was a big one at Penn State a year ago that they won. Secondly, they've been knocked out by the eventual national champion back-to-back years. Why could this year be the year that Oregon gets over the hump and actually wins the national championship?
Well, I think the reputation comes from getting smoked by the eventual national champ the past 2 years. There's no excuse for how they got beat by Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. Last year in the Peach Bowl against Indiana, yeah, you kind of understand it. They had zero healthy running backs, and they were going to lose to whoever was left in the playoff. Whether they'd played Indiana, whether they'd played Miami, whether they'd played, they would have lost. They would have lost any of them. So that's also on Lanning. Like, you have to have a roster deep enough to handle stuff like that. But they keep getting right there. They keep putting together teams that are the best, you know, among the best in the Big Ten, that are among the best in the country. You keep doing that, you eventually break through. It's the same thing Kirby Smart did at Georgia. It's the same thing Ryan Day did at Ohio State. Like, you keep knocking on the door, eventually you get in.
Yeah, it's like the NBA. We often see teams that just show up and dominate. They don't win the title. That's the Spurs a year ago. The Knicks build, get knocked down, build, get knocked down. You eventually win the ring. How many playoff teams do you see out of the Big Ten? Because it feels like Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, that feels pretty inevitable. Is there a fourth, and who would you look at?
Well, the question, because I think you're getting four at least, and I don't know if the SEC is going to give you five or the Big Ten is going to give you five. But the 4-5 area is going to be really interesting. 4-5-6 in the Big Ten, because Penn State has the easiest schedule.
Yep.
And they should be 10-2 at worst, possibly 11-1. USC brings back a ton of talent. Their Big Ten schedule is absolutely gnarly, but that's why they got rid of the Notre Dame game. So perhaps they're in there. The other one is Michigan. Think about this, guys. So they went 9-3 last year with all of that crap going on in the background. Now they're going to be competently coached by Kyle Whittingham. They're probably even better roster-wise. Like, he brings John Henry Daly from Utah. That's one of the best pass rushers in the country. And they didn't really lose anything. Like, it's not like everybody jumped in the portal when Sharon Moore got fired. They're like, oh, hey, you know, maybe he wasn't doing the best job for us, and this other guy's going to do better. So let's just hang out and see what happens.
Yeah, and I love Devin Dampier, but the idea of Jason Beck working with Bryce Underwood with a year under his belt is fascinating.
Oh, I think about this. So, Dustin, if you think about the running backs, you got Jordan Marshall coming back, and then Savion Hyder, the freshman, is one of those freshmen that everybody's really excited about. The line's going to be good. They're going to be effective running the ball. If Bryce Underwood can just put up the stats Devin Dampier put up last year at Utah, that's a playoff team. They are a playoff team if that happens. And Bryce Underwood has a lot better aerial skill set than Devin Dampier. They both run really well, but Bryce Underwood has a much better arm. So it's entirely possible that's what we're talking about here.
Michigan plus 250 to make the playoff. We're talking with Andy Staples, On Three, national college football reporter, host. Andy and Ari, On Three, available wherever you get your podcasts. SEC Media Days, it felt like the talking point coming out of it, and I kind of fall in line with this. Texas is the best roster in the league. There's no excuses this year. But most people believe Georgia and Kirby Smart find a way to win it. Where do you come down on that?
It's interesting because they don't play this year. So they've played three times in the last 2 years, and Georgia's won every time. So there may be a bit of a styles make fight situation going on there, but it doesn't matter because they might not even play each other this year. You know, Georgia's got to get through what it's got to get through, and Texas got to get through what it's got to get through. So I don't even look at it as those two against each other. I just look at it as who can get through the schedule. And I think Texas is probably, if they are not the most talented team in America, they're one of the two most talented teams in America. They have everything you could possibly want. They have lots of good, really good players at key positions. They revamped their running back room, which was something that was sorely needed. They went out and got Cam Coleman, who was the difference-making wide receiver they really needed. And the offensive line will be better than it was last year. Arch will be better than he was last year. So I think they're going to be fine. Georgia is kind of a mystery to me because they've been consistently good. They've won the SEC the past 2 years. They've lost in the quarters the past years, but to teams that were really, really good. And so I don't know that Georgia's choked or anything like that. I think they've just been really good and run into what you run into when you have a 12-team playoff and an environment where you can't build the kind of roster depth that they had in 2022. So I think they're going to be, but the thing is, you got to watch out for LSU. They've gone out and spent, they've got money. A&M's going to be good again. I think Oklahoma's going to be better than they were. And I think Ole Miss could be just as good as they were last year. So I've just named five teams.
Yeah.
I don't think all five of those teams are going to make the playoff.
No, I think it's worth a shot on one of the longer shots. A&M's the one that stands out to me at 8.5-1 with Reed coming back there for the Aggies. He is Andy Staples. You can check him out On Three. Andy and Ari, On Three, available wherever you get your podcast. Check it on YouTube as well. Hey, man, thanks for doing this. It was great catching up. Have fun with everything going on with talking season in college football.
My pleasure.
Awesome stuff. Thanks, Andy. From Andy Staples. Stuff. He is as good as it gets.
Oklahoma, man, that's the one I've heard multiple times here in the past couple of weeks.
Venables can coach a defense. Mateer was not healthy when he came back for the Red River last year. and you really can't judge. Up to that point, he was a Heisman guy and thought to be maybe the top pick in the draft. Yeah. So if he's healthy, I think Oklahoma looks very different next year. All right, when we return, some news coming about the trade deadline. More on that next on VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dustin Sweetelson hanging out with you all day long. Well, not all day long, but for the next 2 hours and 15 minutes here on a numbers game. That's Kelly Bidlin, as always, sitting in his normal chair. What's
you
up?
You should hang out all day.
You know what? I thought
give
about
everybody the day off. Come on, Dustin.
When we were younger, I think some sports radio stations do this. They used to do like the 24-hour marathon for some charity.
Yep.
Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be fun.
I mean, by the way, I'm throwing the idea out. I'm not spearheading the idea. I just want that to be officially known.
What's the most hours you've done on air in a day?
In a day?
Yeah.
I've done 5 or 6, I think, as hosting, as producing. I've definitely done like 12 to 13 before.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, on air, it's probably 6.
It's 5.
I don't think I could say I've gone over 6.
I think I've done multiple
spots
or whatever.
Two shows, yep.
Yeah. Well, the MLB trade deadline, that is one of the headline stories. It's probably the most exciting part of the baseball season, which is saying a lot. I think baseball certainly at a crossroads with where it operates and where its popularity is in the sport. But right now, the talking season, the rumor mill,
yeah.
I think it brings some excitement because, at least from
it's
our perspective.
It's time of year, right? Like, this is when you get – it happens in every sport at some point, right? But, like, baseball, it's the time of year where, like, every non-baseball hardo's checking in, right?
But I think from our perspective – it's a chance that you can beat the rumor mill, right? If you believe a team's going to be aggressive and make a move or multiple moves and be better they are today than they were, you know, a day or two ago, and you're willing to take that risk, you can get a good number. Now, the last time I was sitting here on the show, I will point out for transparency's sake, I did buy in on the Detroit Tigers. I did buy in on the Philadelphia Phillies. And I'd say both of those endeavors are not going exactly the way I'd like them to. However, I do believe Philadelphia is going to be aggressive as the deadline approaches next week. I also think that even if they miss out on Skubal, that could be a blessing in disguise. There's a world where Robbie Ray or Kevin Gausman or Reed Detmers winds up being that consolation prize, and I think that gives them everything that they need to be better and potentially make other moves. Instead of going all in on Skubal, they could add one, maybe two arms into that rotation. I'd really like Gausman just because he's a veteran who's been through it before. And then they need another bullpen piece because Brad Keller is out for the year, and that was a big addition in the offseason for them. But some rumors coming out here, and we should add, there was a trade made last night in case people missed it. The New York Mets sending A.J. Minter, left-handed reliever, to the Minnesota Twins. Mets get back Bruin Agbayani, Billy Amick. Amick is a power prospect from what I read. Agbayani is the son of Benny Agbayani, former New York Met outfielder who was one of my favorites with the Hawaiian punch home run in the playoffs for the New York Metropolitans back in 2000. And the Mets are still looking to trade other relievers. Luke Weaver is being shopped right now. And according to reports I saw just a bit ago, Will Salmon saying that the Brewers in on Luke Weaver, who's been tremendous as the setup guy for the Mets this year. Again, Mason Miller is the headliner. People talking about the Brewers acquiring him. What if the Brewers go out and they add Skubal? And the Brewers add, instead of Mason Miller, Luke Weaver in the bullpen.
Right.
Well, hold on. You're going to shorten the games with Trevor McGill as your closer, Uribe, Weaver, probably able to hang on to Ashby at that point, unless he's involved in the Skubal trade. Let's say he's in the Skubal trade. Even then, you've just replaced Ashby, even though it's a right-hander versus a lefty. Weaver fills that void, and you're still shortening the game. I'm looking at the Milwaukee Brewers, Kelly. I think they have to make this move. Milwaukee is the team that needs to get Tarik Skubal the most.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's a great case. They would be a much stronger team with him on. What about Mason Miller? Do you think he's going? Is he on the move for sure?
He has to. They gave up too much for a closer. And I know they're back in contention right now. It's the Padres. They're unserious. They do this every year. You know how I know they do this every year? Because every year they drift out to about 20-1 to win the World Series. And I go, you know what? If everything comes together for San Diego, they can hang with anyone. And they've been close. Like, let's be fair. They've been close, but they don't have that pedigree that you want to believe in. I think for Milwaukee right now, you can get them 9-1 to win the World Series. I love this team as is. If they get Tarik Skubal, They are finally at a point where I believe that they are capable of beating the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I know people are saying, hold on, it's Milwaukee. It's about prospects. You have to make sure you save them because you can't retain your highest end talent when they become available in the market. What I would argue with is if you win one ring based on the moves you make and the sacrifices of trading players down the road, everything is justified. Everything is justified if you wind up winning a ring. And I think Tarek Skubal has you right on the edge of being the best team in baseball, maybe even better than the Dodgers, because no one else is throwing out a 1-2 combo of Jacob Mizorowski in his prime right now, throwing 105 miles an hour, followed by Tarek Skubal. And if you're the Brewers, you have to believe in yourself. You have to believe that you can find more prospects, that you can develop them, because you've been a team that's been in the playoffs for the last few years, and you've been doing that. You find guys, you develop them, you get the most out of them. Don't be scared to unload some, because I caution every team that gets obsessed with prospects. Look at the Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles are a team that refused to trade anyone. Now they have log jams at multiple positions. Now we have guys at the major league level who've never developed and never really reached their prime, and some of them are due for contracts soon. They're shopping Adley Rutschman. That was the beginning of this shift for that organization. Everyone's going to be available, and because they never put their cards on the table, put their chips all the way in and tried to make that big, bold move to get them over the top, they're stuck with redundancies, and they're a team that's on the outside looking in the playoff picture once again. Adding Skubal would make the Brewers the toughest matchup for the Dodgers in the playoffs because Logan Henderson gets dropped down to your third. Kyle Harrison's probably your third or fourth with Henderson. Then the bullpen gets an addition because Sproat or Drohan or Gasser, one of them's going to get moved there. And think about this. Game 7, NLCS against the Dodgers. If you push them to that point, and it's going to take 7 to get past this team, you can set up Skubal, Mizorowski, one, both on short rest. You're making it a game where the Dodgers have to score 2 runs, 1 run to beat you. Like, you're making it so much more difficult for them. Milwaukee's athletic. They don't strike out. They have a great rotation as is, a great bullpen. But I'd caution them. These windows don't last forever. I'd go for the glory. I'd make the move.
Yep, I like it. Man, I feel like I've been staring at this market for 3-4 weeks now. But, like, the one seed in the National League, plus 650 on the Brewers. Oh. And, like, I mean, you're going to have Brewers and Dodgers right there. And you can make the argument of you're going to get a first-round bye regardless where you think. But there might not be major incentive because of that to go for the one seed. But you could say the same thing about the Dodgers.
Let's remember a year ago, the Dodgers in September struggled.
Right.
They got all the way out to 7-1 to win the World Series. I bet them at 5-1 to win the World Series. That gets home, but they didn't have a bye. They had to play the games, and they did not look like the same team down the home stretch. I think that is something worth looking at. They're 2 games back right now. I just want to pull up the exact record for the Dodgers last year in September. In September, they went 15-10. All right. They went 15-13 in August, actually July, where they scuffled. 10-14 for them in the month of July a year ago.
And, like, yeah, they're going to have guys coming back here, but, like, we know what they're going to do with Shohei down the stretch. Like, it's just going to be manage him. And I think that would apply to anybody else on the team, too.
Well, speaking of Shohei Ohtani, this MVP market's been moving this weekend.
Yeah, it's wild.
And he did not play on Thursday night because of a knee injury. He's also dealing with a bicep. Dave Roberts came out and said that Ohtani is going to DH today for the Los Angeles Dodgers. As far as the MVP goes, he's still minus 125. This got up to minus 150 at some shops yesterday. Pete Crow Armstrong is even money. I don't have anything on PCA to win this award, Kelly. So I'm coming from an unbiased standpoint. I don't have anything on Ohtani either.
Mm-hmm.
I think PCA is the MVP.
Okay.
I genuinely believe that. I was doing the show with Mitch all week, and he found someone who ran the analytics, and I don't always buy into some of the nerds speak about, like, defense, because I don't really understand how you quantify defense, but how do you put into your equation where the players lined up ahead of time? What's the advanced scouting? What is the play that he, like,
right, yeah.
I don't really understand how he takes away runs. You could explain it to me 5 billion times. I will never understand it. But he did find someone with the analytics that said, Pete Crow Armstrong, his defense negates Shohei as a pitcher. It's the same amount of value to their teams. Ohtani doesn't play the field.
Right.
PCA is an elite center fielder. So if that is the equalizer there, PCA is having a better offensive season than Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, I mean, we've been Matt and I've been sitting here all week talking about, you know, watch out. I think this is something that could happen. Matt made a few bets down the board. I mean, I don't know about you. He doesn't think this is a two-guy race.
Oh, see, I think it's, and I don't want it to be. I did take a little Mizorowski at 125-1.
Yeah, so did he.
Because that only is because I'm stubborn and I had preseason Paul Skeens to win it at a big number. Mm. But James Wood, I think, makes sense. The problem is, I think C.J. Abrams and James Wood take votes away from each other.
Yeah, I think they probably do,
too. That's my concern. I have Schwarber 43-1. I've never believed it was going to happen, so I still don't believe it's going to happen.
I mean, he's probably going to put up better numbers than he did last year, right? But but he's right there. I mean, he finished second last year behind Shohei Ohtani.
I know. He's got to hit... He's got to hit 65, 70 home runs somewhere.
You think it's that?
Yeah, no, I think it's literally home runs. Also, the Phillies are kind of not inspiring right now.
Yeah,
hey, 20
true.
Leagues, one mission, just win bets, baby. That's your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name says it all. My favorite long shot bet for the Heisman Trophy plays for this school, and a vet of that program joins us next on A Numbers Game.